101.9 AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Got one of my good old buddies on today, Judge David Lowry. And we go back a long way. I mean, neighbors and ball games and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm just so proud of you, the way you've done over the years. I really am.
I'm just surviving. That's all I'm surviving.
Well, with the number of people that go into court these days, it's unbelievable. But I tell everybody, I've been to a number of jurisdictions. Nobody does it better than Rutherford County when we're talking about the legal system. We're talking about the judges and the DA's office and all the people, the law enforcement agencies. It's just been something special. And I was so blessed to be a part of it there for a good time. And it seems like it's growing more and more and more. Of course, the community, of course, is growing more. But your responsibilities have just skyrocketed.
Well, you got 269,000 people in Rutherford County. You and I grew up here, and we remember it was Murfreesboro, about 16,000 people, probably 33,000 in the whole county. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this tremendous growth, and it's in everything, schools, legal, judicial, the jail, the sheriff just left here. You know, we've seen an increase in everything we do.
Yet you came from a background of bankers.
Yes, my whole family's bankers.
Now, how in the world did you escape that particular profession and go on to where you are now?
I don't know if you ever knew Dr. Andrew Todd or not.
Yes.
He's now deceased, but mm-hmm. I told him one time, because of your father, I became a lawyer. We grew up, it was Mayor Todd. Mm-hmm. It was Andrew.
Yes.
And everybody called him Jack Todd, but Mr. Todd to me. But he was the mayor, and that's all we ever called him. And from the time I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a lawyer because of Mr. Todd. I really admired Mayor Todd.
Well, of course, Ed, he did carry on the family tradition.
Yeah, he worked at Haynes Hardware. My father made me work at the bank. I didn't want to work there because I didn't want to be a banker. But my brother never worked there. He worked at Haynes Hardware. I always thought that was a kind of funny twist of fate. And he wanted to be a banker, so that's the way it worked. I've told my dad I was the black sheep of the family all these years.
But your dad, he was the kind of person, he loved everybody, but his boys, he wanted to make sure that you guys walked the straight and narrow, didn't he?
Yeah, I used to be a juvenile court judge at one time, and I told my father never would take Ed or I to juvenile court. It'd be because he was a judge, jury, and executioner. He took care of everything like most parents did in those days. About 5 minutes, he took care of everything he needed to be taken care of. He didn't need juvenile court.
Yeah, I thought the world of your dad. Mom, too.
Thank you.
You know, we have seen the court system change dramatically just in our short time. I mean, the judge, the county judge, was actually involved in some of the juvenile cases and things like that.
And probate.
And really did not have to have a law degree,
correct,
which I find fascinating.
Correct.
And then I remember then we had a juvenile judge,
right,
and I believe wasn't the first juvenile judge appointed. I was trying to remember whether it was or not.
Well, look, when I came here from law school, Judge Buckner was the part-time General Sessions judge, and as part of his jurisdiction,
right,
he had juvenile.
Yes.
So, and he would just work part-time, and then we had one full-time circuit judge, Judge Holloway, mm-hmm, and then we had a part-time chancery court judge that came over here from Lewisburg, and he came over about once every 8 weeks, and that was the judicial system in Rutherford County at that time. That was it. Now we have, four circuit judges and a chancellor and a juvenile judge, and she has two referees or magistrates that work for her, and we've got three General Sessions judges, and it's just we've seen an expansion of the judicial system that we just can't find hard to believe, really.
Yeah, I remember at the old courthouse. Of course, that's where all the proceedings were done at that time. It didn't have the court that we have now. But it was a social gathering. I mean, you think back about it, you had all the law enforcement figures, and you had the judges and the DAs and the attorneys and all that. And then you had the people who had unfortunately broken the law. And then you had Bob Sutter's office. It was just almost like people meeting in an office and just having fun the whole day. And you knew all the prisoners that came through, and you knew their families. It has really changed.
Really changed. Yeah, I used to have Guy Dotson was the DA, and he had mm-hmm. two assistants, and that was it. And then you had, you know,
Wally Holloway.
Yeah, Wally was a circuit judge. But I'm just saying, then you had maybe 35 people in the Bar Association, 35 lawyers total in the Bar Association. And we only did grand jury once every 3 months, mm-hmm. whereas we do it once a month now. I mean, everything's just all changed. The growth is, you know, MTSU has grown to be such a big, large university, 26,000 students. And like I say, from when you and I were here growing up in Rutherford County, it was a lot different.
Well, I can remember back that you would have the bondsman walking around pacing inside the courtroom, and Judge Buckner was one of the most structured of all judges that I have ever known. But even at that, there was always a sense of humor back in those days when you had Bob Sutter and Norris Lover and Carl Russell and all those other people. I mean, they really were just true characters, every one of them, and a lot of fun.
And then you had Guy James.
Yeah, and you had Guy James.
But that was about all the bondsmen. But see, now you've got so many bondsmen now, and they've grown as well. I mean, I don't, you know, there's so many bondsmen, bondspersons now, I don't even know them all.
And everybody, you had a rapport with just about everybody back then.
You tried to have.
Yeah. You think back, we weren't quite Andy Griffith, but we were close to it. I mean, it really was.
All we needed was Don Knotts. We didn't have a Don Knotts.
But when you think about it, there was the laws are made to protect the people. And in some ways to punish, but that's not back then when people would come before the judge and be talking to the DA and all of that, it was there was a lot of room to be able to help people back then. It's not as open now as it was back then, and I think it's the strictness has been caused by problems that have occurred over the years and by lobbying and laws and things that people feel very passionate about. And sometimes I wonder if we don't overstress some of that and take away the humanity of it all.
Well, I think you hit it earlier. You said you knew people. You knew their families. I mean, we're talking about defendants in mm-hmm. particular. Nowadays, we have people we don't know. They move in here from maybe Antioch or Nashville or from some other part of the state or another state. People are more mobile. And and you just don't know who you're dealing with sometimes. So now we sort of go by the book. It's not much by feeling, but by the book. And, of course, you have to be careful. You treat everybody the same. I mean, everybody has a right to be treated fairly. Mm-hmm. So I think the DA and the judges and everybody really walk a fine line trying to make that happen.
Everybody thinks that all judges have the same responsibility and treat their courtrooms the same, and that's not true because there are different levels of judges. And a lot of people, you think of state judges, you think of circuit and chancery, those type. And then, of course, General Sessions is more of local judges.
That's right. And but to the public, a judge is a judge is a judge. I mean, that
when you put that robe on,
it doesn't make any difference. And when you have the authority to put somebody in jail, obviously, you know, people respect that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't care what kind of jurisdiction that you have. To the public, it doesn't make any difference, I don't think.
Is it hard to maintain your presence all the time when you're sitting in that chair to keep your emotions from taking over your judgment? Because I've been in court a number of times. I think it would have taken over mine.
I have to bite my lip sometimes. Yes, I think we are. You know, because funny things happen sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they're funny, and people laugh, and they're generally funny things. And so, and then sometimes bad things happen. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to fight to control those emotions and not overreact one way or another.
Now, your responsibilities are basically with misdemeanors and also whether or not there's enough information to send that to federal court or grand jury.
Right, if it's a felony. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't take felony pleas in general sessions court, but we take general sessions pleas. But people have to realize probably 90% of the cases we deal with, because mm-hmm. even a felony case, if the state reduces it down to a misdemeanor, then we handle that in general sessions court. So unless it's a real serious felony, most of those we take care of. The 10%, that's the ones we send on to circuit judges. They're the more serious cases, obviously.
Now, sometimes people will send cases to the grand jury.
Yes.
Now, are those mostly cases that they don't want information out prior to going into circuit, or what are usually the guidelines on that?
There are no guidelines. It depends on usually the attorney involved, if there is an attorney, or the defendant involved. And sometimes if it's a case involving a minor child or something sensitive, sometimes they don't want a hearing on that because mm-hmm. that might get in the newspaper and da-da-da. So it just depends on the individual. In some cases, we have a preliminary hearing, because especially if a public defender is involved, because they don't want to be charged with not representing somebody to the utmost. So mm-hmm. they want to be sure that they do everything they can to represent the person fairly. So a lot of the hearings we have probably really aren't necessary, but to protect the public defender's integrity, we do those hearings anyway mm-hmm. and send them to the grand jury.
You do a great job with your judicial commissioners, and that's where it all starts, outside of the law enforcement officers, and maybe when people have friction between themselves and they want to take that to court. A great deal of time is spent making sure that the individual that is somebody's wanting to charge gets into court. But there's a lot of things that go on during that time to actually ascertain whether or not this is something that needs to go into a courtroom, or maybe it's something that can be solved outside of the courtroom, because many times a lot of emotions will take place, and it's not really warranted to be at the level of a courtroom. I mean, we've dealt with that a lot, and I think that your judicial commissioners do a tremendous job trying to filter all that out.
Okay, now let's discuss what a judicial commissioner is, because people
right.
on the radio know what we're talking about.
Right.
You've been the sheriff here, and you understand the process, but judicial commissioners are people that we actually have that are at the jail that work for the judges. Mm-hmm. And they're the people that you go to, a private citizen or an officer, to take a warrant out against somebody, mm-hmm. have them arrested, booked, fingerprinted, have their picture taken, all those sort of things. Well, these are the people that safeguard those rights, and judges don't work at night. And these ladies, and they're all ladies, work for the General Sessions judges at the Sheriff's Department, and they're there to safeguard it, be sure that warrants are taken out against people that should be taken out. If there's no crime committed, or if you can't identify the person that committed it, then there should be no warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Wanda Watkins and Suzanne Kaufman that work out at the Sheriff's Department, do a tremendous job.
And
they safeguard those things to be sure the warrants are taken out if they're legitimate warrants, and also to set a bond.
Mm-hmm.
They set bond and bond conditions for people. So, and they do a very good job. And it's something that I don't think the general public realizes really goes on in the judicial community.
Well, and of course, those bonds that are set are preset for the crimes. They're not preset?
No. The county got sued a number of years ago by a lawyer named Jerry Gonzalez from Nashville.
He
sued every county
that.
In Middle Tennessee.
Yes, yes.
And everybody had these what we call bond sheets, and they would set up for certain crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do now is it's completely different. They have a crime, they'll have an amount, and then they go up or down from that amount, mm-hmm. depending on if that person, if they're from Rutherford County, if they have family, if they have a job, or they might go down on the bond, the amount, or if the person's from out of state or doesn't have family or is just passing through, then the bond may be higher because they have a bigger chance of not coming to court. So they have to go through these about 8 or 9 bond steps to determine what the amount of bond would be in each case.
Now, does an officer have any input in how much the bond will be?
Yes, officers do, because the reason for that is because a lot of times officers will arrest people and they'll have the prior history, mm-hmm. Or maybe there's some things that aren't in the warrant that they think that district commissioners may need to know to up the bond. Person might be a flight risk, mm-hmm. so that they wouldn't already know. So officers do sometimes, and it's rare, but officers have great input on what bond may be. They may lower the bond, and they may up the bond depending on what they think those conditions are.
Now, the conditions of the bond, number one, primarily, that bond is set to ensure that the individual will be in court.
That's the only reason you set a bond. So, and sometimes we might release a person, we call it ROR bond,
right?
Release on young recognizance. Mm-hmm. If it's a person, if it's not a violent crime and they're not going to go anywhere, they're going to appear in court, you might release them without putting them in jail on the condition that they will come to court.
And that kind of goes back to the old days when we used to be able to release people without them making a bond. If you knew them and you were fairly certain, almost 100%, that they would be in court. But yet, there are times when a person has been arrested on a crime that maybe have impending problems with that individual as far as endangering people's lives.
Yes.
Now, how do you deal with that?
Well, basically, you can, as part of the bond condition, require them, number one, not to be around a certain person, mm-hmm. if that person is scared of them. Or they may put a GPS ankle bracelet on them. Mm-hmm. I know now with DUIs, we're putting what we call scram bracelets, mm-hmm. on them, and that way they can determine if someone's using alcohol or not, mm-hmm. by the scram bracelet. So there's all kinds of techniques, things that are being used to ensure people's safety, because that's what this is about. We want to ensure, number one, the defendant appears in court on the day and time, and number two, the defendant does not go out and hurt someone else or do something worse. So, mm-hmm. We're trying to monitor people.
You do a good job in trying to protect individuals who could be put in harm's way. And one of the things that's always come up would be peace bonds or peace warrants. But those are judicial orders. And when you get an order from a judge, that's the final say-so. But unfortunately, we don't always deal with people who have the right mindset for those things. They have mental conditions or whatever. And that's a hard thing to deal with. I know you've dealt with it over the years. I've had to deal with it. When you're trying to advise, usually ladies who are in a situation that is a violent situation, and they're trying to get away from it, and as you know better than anybody else, it's a control type problem that they've got, but it can escalate even beyond what anybody can imagine. And there's really, you have the protection of the judge, but it's paper. You don't have anybody sitting in front of that individual with a gun keeping them safe. That's a tough thing to deal with.
Judge McFarland primarily runs a domestic violence court, and it deals with, of course, spouses and children and roommates, people who have violent tendencies, and actually the person is scared of a certain person or not. And so you try to put in there certain protection, but like you say, there are paper protections. Mm-hmm. There's not much you can do. We hear been in the news all the time about a murder, suicide situation.
I think there was just one just recently.
Right. And if someone's willing to take their own life, besides locking someone up 24 hours a day, I don't know what you can do to protect somebody, a person like that, if they're willing to give their own life. So those are real tricky situations, and domestic violence, Judge McFarland and his group do a great job of that, trying to ensure that people are not harmed.
When people come before you and you know the individual that's coming up, and there are specific charges that really don't relate to that person's personality or the way they've conducted themselves over the years, how do you deal with that? Is that a situation that you almost have to recuse yourself from, or I know that's an iffy type situation.
Well, you don't recuse yourself just because you might know someone. At least mm-hmm. I don't. If it would affect my decision, I should and would recuse myself. But basically, we have people in there that are acting oddly. You know, sometimes we order what we call a mental evaluation. Mm-hmm. You may have the Dr. Stuber here in town mm-hmm. talk to that person, do an evaluation to see if they have mental illness or some other kind of problem. And I'm sure you being the sheriff, I understand we have lots of people in this town that involved in criminal activity that suffer from mental illness and never being diagnosed because they don't have a doctor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may be homeless or whatever, and it may be just public drunk or disorderly conduct, but, you know, they in and out of the jail all the time, and you know that they suffer from a mental illness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get all kinds of things. I mean, it runs the entire gamut of people's emotions and people's problems. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Judge David Lowry.
Middle Tennessee football and basketball games are right here. This is Chip Walters on Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
MTSU Sports on WGNS.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Ted Werbin. A Tennessee jury has convicted a Kentucky woman of facilitation in the rape and murder of a University of Tennessee student in 2007. The jury from Jackson found Vanessa Coleman of Lebanon, Kentucky, guilty on 13 of 17 charges in the death of 21-year-old Shannon Christian. A Rutherford County woman in critical condition at a Nashville hospital after she was severely burned in a vehicle parked at her home. Investigators say they still don't know what 68-year-old Thelmarine May Frazier was doing in the family Lexus or what sparked the fire. A Mid-State family is mourning after a police officer killed their dog.
A Clarksville family is looking for answers after their beloved pet was shot dead by a police officer. Judy Allen says her pit bull was shot and killed by a Clarksville officer looking for a runaway near her home. The dog was in her yard and attached to a chain when she was shot.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers.
Looking for a really smart gift for your child or grandchild this holiday? Something that won't break or need batteries? Try the Tennessee Department of Treasury's new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. If you open a Tennessee Stars account with at least $50 by December 31st, 2012, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan and receive $100 in your Tennessee Stars account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Tennessee Stars is the holiday gift that keeps on giving for a lifetime. Visit www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827 and open your account today.
Tennessee's deer gun season has only been open since Saturday, but already resulting in one death and several injuries. Officials say a 49-year-old man died over the weekend when he fell from a tree stand near the Williams and Murray County line. The East Tennessee Technology Access Center adapting toys for children who have disabilities that prevent them from using their hands to play in the typical way. The center's annual Toy Tech Party, December 3rd, will distribute the toys to families living within a 24-county span of East Tennessee. The Tennessee Titans busy at work this week, prepping for Sunday's game at Jacksonville.
Tennessee enjoyed its bye this past week after routing the Dolphins in Miami November 11th. At 4-6, the Titans are two games behind Pittsburgh and Indianapolis for a wild card spot in the AFC.
That's TRN's Dan Item reporting, and I'm Ted Werbin. This is Tennessee Radio Network News.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have low interest rates and ongoing market volatility jeopardized your financial peace of mind? There is a solution. Work with a professional that believes in safe money alternatives. For 24 years, Doug King of King Financial Management specialized in strategies that provide asset protection, moderate growth, and guaranteed retirement income. Call Doug today at 877-890-5489 so that tomorrow your money will be working smarter for you. Online at kingfinancialmanagement.com. That's kingfinancialmanagement.com.
Sometimes we don't think about how important quality is until it's not there. Quality is as important as the price. It will stand the test of time and save you money. Quality impacts our marketplace. It's the quality of products and services that make a satisfied, loyal customer. And it's quality that grows businesses that are built to last. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
One of the most unique restaurants in America has made its way to the borough. The Egg and I Restaurant on Medical Center Parkway. They're in the old Otter's location at the corner of Medical Center Parkway and Thompson Lane. The Egg and I will be open Monday through Friday from 6 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon and from 7 a.m. till 3 on Saturday and Sunday. Grand opening November 26. They also have free meeting rooms for your business luncheon and breakfast. The Egg and I are excited to be interviewing smiling new faces for their lunch staff and breakfast staff. For an interview, call 867-2525.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
We were sitting here talking about law and order, and all of a sudden Brian Barrett comes in and starts talking UT football. Now, what is your problem,
Brian? Talking law and order, and then you thought about Tyler Bray, right?
Why would you say that?
Just saying.
Well, one thing about it is, it's going to change. Things are always in the they're ready to go, aren't they, David?
They're ready to go. Find a coach. I don't know who that coach is going to be, but I hope Athletic Director Hart does a great job, and I'm sure he will.
Well, now you've kind of laid off and kind of taken a sabbatical away from UT football for a while. I haven't seen you there.
That's true.
We used to go together quite a bit back in the old days.
The former athletic director took away my tickets after 50 years.
Oh, really? Former athletic director?
Former athletic director.
Yeah. Is that because you weren't supporting enough?
I don't know. But apparently now they write me letters once a week begging me to buy tickets now. They want to begging me for tickets. But I give my money to the UT School of Law.
Now, you're not practicing on Saturday now, being a judge, are you? You still have your Saturdays open.
I still have Saturdays open unless I'm doing search warrants,
right? I've called you many a time through the night, and you have always been most gracious. So we could send an officer over, and you'd sign a warrant and a search warrant or whatever, and I appreciate
that. They're still doing that.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. Life.
Good for them.
Yeah, and they do a tremendous job.
Yes, they
tremendous
do.
Tremendous job.
Yeah. We have great law enforcement officers in this community.
Yes,
we really do.
We're blessed.
Now, and they're filling up your court. I'm sure you have record numbers coming through there right now because...
We do.
Do you still have the overcrowding problems at the courthouse right now?
Oh,
or
yes.
The judicial building?
Oh, yes. I think my courtroom's supposed to hold like 75 people, and we hold about 400. So they're in the hallway and spelled out everywhere. I think Judge McFarland, I think last time I looked, he and I have 4,400 people on probation to us. 4,000.
That's unbelievable.
Just on probation. At any one time.
Could you imagine if all those on probation were actually serving in
time.
Jail?
Exactly.
So that would be unbelievable.
And see, the jail's was running 930 and 940. I think in the last 10 days, Judge McFarland, I signed an order. I think we moved 100 people from the jail to the workhouse in the last 20 days.
The dynamics of the judicial system is really can be complicated sometimes because you have so many avenues to move those people, and you want to move the right ones that actually fill the bill that need to be in the jail or the workhouse.
That's right.
And then you have some that you can put out on probation, and it actually I guess it has a plus on both sides because you're not having to take care of all that space or add additional spaces in the say at the workhouse or at the jail. So therefore, you know, you have a lot of people, they want work release and all these other things that you can add to the programs of people going in jail.
Well, see, the workhouse has a work release
right.
program.
But in some respects, you're almost better off to put them on probation if they're not violent, and hopefully they're not going to continue on the path that they've been going on. You have to make a lot of sensitive judgments, don't
well,
you?
Well, it makes sense because, obviously, I think to house a prisoner probably costs $45, $50 a day in Rutherford County.
Right.
So if you don't have to house that prisoner, plus if they can go to work every day and be productive for themselves and their family, and then that gives them an opportunity, you know, to pay court costs and pay their fines and whatever, they need restitution, whatever, if they're out working. So it's a win-win for the, you know, for everybody.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and let you know that this part of Judge Lowry's show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive. Turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You know, I can remember kind of wading through the traffic in the hallways over at the judicial building. And, you know, when that building, and you and I remember when it was first built, I mean, it was really supposed to be something special. Yeah. I remember Doc Benson bringing me the plans over, and we all looked at them, and I said, oh, man, this is going to be special. And it was built to take care of that particular time's problem, but it's also an expansion was available there that you could grow into, and we've pretty much done it, haven't we?
Well, about that time in Rutherford County is like 118,000 people in Rutherford County. We've now tripled that. That building, obviously, we can't triple in the use because there's not enough space there for triple the space. So, yeah, and then, you know, we've got security in the courthouse now, which didn't exist back in 1980. So
right.
no room, so they're crammed up in the front of the building. Mm-hmm. And so you only can come in the front door, the back door's blocked off, so you have limited access, so that crowds people coming in the front door. So that building was built in 1980. We weren't able to foresee the growth of the county and security measures we need to take.
You know, we've seen so many changes on the square, and the growth has taken a lot of the businesses away from the square, although there's still some there and do quite well. But you wonder, at what point are we going to move some of the government businesses away from the downtown area? Because even though they have the parking area, the city has a real nice parking garage, and they've done a great job with it. But we're almost running out of space for traffic to come through. And is there any thought being put together right now as to maybe the possible locations of maybe putting the judicial building somewhere else and build a much larger one that would make it more accessible to the public?
To the north of the square now, approximately one block away behind Pinnacle, there's the county's bought property there. You know, for a criminal justice center or something built, we have security problems now. Prisoners are actually brought to the back of the building and walked into the district building. Sometimes they even walk them down the hallways, which is not ideal for security issues and problems. But, you know, like I say, when that building was built, I don't think we anticipated the growth in what we have now. So in the future, there will be a building at some point. And security measures where you can actually drive prisoners in and be more secure for everybody so that harm can't come to them, or, you know, they can't cause harm to somebody else. So, you know, those are all in the plans, but it just takes M-O-N-E-Y and lots of it. And, you know, we're building schools right now, and the county's growing other ways. So there's not always, you know, the money that you need at that particular point, but at some point there will be.
I think we have a much better idea right now as far as the growth is concerned in the Rutherford County, Middle Tennessee area. And as the planning goes on to meet the needs of all the things that are going on in this community, I'm pretty sure that we're looking at probably a futuristic look of major growth where we can actually grow into that particular project as we go along. And I have never seen anything be as effective as the growth that we have as it involves government. I mean, we're talking about schools, we're talking about law enforcement, we're talking about taking care of prisoners, the judicial situation. It's been an enormous task ever since it started about 15, 20 years ago, and it's going to continue. And what I'm afraid of is that a lot of times when you go through the judicial building, even though that you have security and everything else, it's not a really safe condition in there because there are so many people just walking all over each other there. And a lot of times they're not happy people. When you go to court, you're not exactly whistling and dancing.
No, you're not there because you want to be there. This is not a concert. And, you know, and things don't go like you want to be. And I'm talking about victims, too. Victims aren't always happy with the results and what happened, just as defendants and defendants' families aren't always happy. And there are arguments between individuals in the hallways and people passing out. I'm sure it seems like every day we have a ambulance coming up there to someone's passed out or whatever. And, you know, it does present a problem, but I'm sure every courthouse in the United States has the same problems we have. It's just how you deal with those problems. And so I'm in the future, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get bigger hallways and bigger courtrooms and more secure areas and, you know, and more room for security personnel to do their job.
Have you ever been threatened in court?
Never.
That's amazing.
Never.
Because you hear of it quite often in other places.
Never been threatened. I guess I've been truly blessed. No, never been threatened. So.
Well, knowing you, that's kind of hard for me to believe.
I'm sure people think a lot of things. I always tell somebody, you can always think what you want to, just be careful what you say. But no, I've never been threatened. I mean, I've had some people maybe not happy, but threatened, no. I've never been threatened with violence or anything. I don't think I've ever been cussed at, even.
Huh.
So, no. Threatened, no.
You know, you and I have been involved in a number of things over the years, and it's most of it's been fun. And do you remember our trip down to Jackson, Mississippi? When we went down to look at a boot camp. I mean, we were really focused on that.
A juvenile boot camp. Yes. That's right.
And we went down, and it was so interesting to look how everybody else does something different. It's like you're going into different countries when you leave state to state or even county to county.
It's like you've gone. I got some young people that just starting to practice law. You know, got a law school and passed the bar. I said, when you go to another county, the forms will be different. It'd be like you've gone into a different country, even though we have the same code sections and same law. So things are just a little different. And we went to Jackson, went to Mississippi, went to Mobile, Alabama.
Went to Mobile.
All right.
And they were both trips worthwhile because we did not get our, our boot camp the way we wanted it, but we did get a semblance of a boot camp, which the SROs worked with and developed. And actually, it's something that really has worked well because it brings the parents and the kids together, and for the first time in their lives, in some respects, they actually have structure in their lives, and it gives the parents maybe another route to take when they're dealing with kids, and that's not an easy thing these days.
You ever think back and really how lucky you and I were, the parents that we had, your mom and dad, which I knew, and mom. I mean, we just how blessed we were. You don't realize it when you're children that you are in a structured thing. You have a home, and your parents have jobs and take care of you. You know, as a child, you just assume everybody has that. Mm-hmm. Well, you and I get in the business we're in. We see kids don't have that option, and it's sad that they don't have the options we had and they have the security that we had with a great mom and great dad.
Well, you think about Murfreesboro and Rutherford County in general. When we were growing up, the leaders in our community, the parents in our community, they were all on the same page. And they wanted their children to grow up to be the best that they could be and always be polite and always be caring of another person, respectful of other people's property. All of those things were just a natural flow. And I was talking to Greg Tucker Tuesday, and when we were off the air, and one of the things that I really focus on today, and I never did before, was the people that have preceded us, and as we lose them, things will never be the same again. I mean, you lost your dad, and I lost my dad. And then you see of all the people that have represented Murfreesboro and Rutherford County in such a positive way, and now they have passed on. And every time I go to a funeral where I know someone has contributed greatly to our community, it bothers me, just like Tommy Smith. When he passed away.
He was, what, the city councilman,
right.
Vice mayor,
right.
State representative, mm-hmm. I think, when Mr. Bragg ran for Congress. He served as our state representative. Tommy was a great public servant.
Always handled himself like a gentleman. Oh, well, except when Aubrey Weatherly was involved at the courthouse. I mean, the great repartee between them and other people there, I mean, it's priceless. Maybe I'm getting old and I'm getting more... I'm not exactly senile yet, but I guess I'm getting close to it.
But times change.
Times change, but you want them to change for the better. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose all of those things that we were taught and were blessed to be part of as we were growing up.
But see, we had a great childhood, and I feel sorry for kids today. I don't think they have as good a growing up as we had, because I had horses, and we played outside, and had great times. And now I see kids, it's video games and watching TV and you know, almost antisocial behavior.
It's not real.
But, you know, and nothing against video games and having a good time. It's just that I just think we had a great childhood growing up. I mean, you don't realize at the time how good things were, how great things were.
Well, if you think back, the one thing that stands out more than anything would be your friendships.
Exactly.
Friendships are the number one thing in your life.
I still see people that I went to school with. I still run into people all the time I went to school with or meet their children or something, and I feel a connection with that person. Oh, I went to school with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I met Jerry Benson's daughter the other day. I was having breakfast, and she was with a friend of mine. He said, "Don't you meet this?" I said, "Oh, Jerry Benson's daughter." I said, "And Doc was your granddaddy."
Mm-hmm.
Doc Benson.
Now, everybody knew Doc Benson
exactly.
Back in those days.
Everybody knew Doc Benson. But I'm just saying there's a connection there, you know. So even though I didn't know this young lady, I said, well, I know your granddaddy, and I knew Jerry. So it's a wonderful thing.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to let you know that this part of Judge David Lowry's show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means At Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care, they provide top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639 At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing, and our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the Doubletree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Hello, everybody. This is Doyle Mayfield of the legendary country duo Doyle and Debbie. Say hello, Debbie.
Hello, everybody.
You know, Debbie, Tennessee Cash is a lot like a great old country song that you almost forgot about.
It's only rewarding if you remember to play it.
And if you was to play that song more often, your chances would improve, wouldn't they, Debbie?
I think you may have strained your metaphor, Doyle.
Ouch.
What Doyle's saying here is that the Tennessee Lottery is drawing Tennessee Cash winners three times a week.
And not only that, chances are better because you can only play for jackpots in Tennessee.
Exactly. Big cash jackpots and better Tennessee odds.
Tell them, buddy.
Folks, don't forget, Tennessee Cash jackpots start at $200,000 and draw every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
With Tennessee Country Crackpots. Singing to you about jackpots.
Want a second chance to win? Join the Tennessee Lottery's VIP Player Suite and enter your eligible non-winning instant tickets into Play It Again. There's more than $1.4 million in cash to be won. Register at TNLottery.com by December 17th.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at TheOutpostArmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Are you driving around in a state of doubt, wondering how your car insurance will really take care of you? I'm State Farm Agent Monty King. Let me get you to a better state, a state of confidence that the coverage you're driving around with is actually driven by your wants and your needs. That's why 97% of the people who've had claims with State Farm would recommend us, without a doubt. Give me a call at 220-2210. You'll see how easy and affordable it can be.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Monty King in Smyrna. Give me a call at 220-2210.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? You'd call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less. Safe Auto.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Judge David Lowry. And you are a UT graduate, UT Law School.
And undergraduate.
And undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the football teams were better back then.
Lots better.
Was that...
That was the heyday.
Was that majors?
No. We had...
No. Bill Battle.
We had Bill Battle, and then before Bill Battle, we had
Doug Dickey.
Yeah, those were a great day. Dickey was wonderful. Bill Battle.
What? Even weren't you one of the people that jumped into the moving van and drove over to Bill Battle's house? What did he have, about 11-1 or his record that year? Bless his heart, he lost that game, and there he went.
I mean, his worst record would look like a great record today, right?
Oh, yeah. Coach would still be here.
Exactly. He'd be a hero. No, times have changed. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, football's changed.
And law has changed.
And law has changed. And it will change.
But you had to have gone to school with some great people, because I know a lot of them settled right here in Murfreesboro.
David Kice, Ben Hall McFarland, Bart Gordon, Johnny Lane, Dan Smyrna. I mean, great people. John T. Bobo and Shelbyville, a lot of great people. We really enjoyed law school. Frank Fly graduated about the same time I had to do. Frank was there. So Steve Daniels, former circuit judge here, graduated about 71 from up there. Played for the Bayou Bengals, LSU Tigers football, but went to
Paul
law school.
Dietzel.
Paul Dietzel and Charlie McClendon, mm-hmm. Right?
And he's going to be on the show next Monday.
He's great. You'll enjoy talking with him. Great person.
I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Judge David Lowry.
Miss Jones, I want to speak to the judge.
You got him. Fire on.
I'm listening.
Judge?
Yes, sir.
This is your old souls. I want to thank you and your family for helping me all the times you have through the years.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sauls.
Your family been great to me.
How long you cut hair on the square, Mr. Sauls? How
almost
many years?
60 years.
Almost right. 60 years. And you're retired?
Started in 1953.
And you're retired now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, taking it easy.
And it's always good to hear from you and see you. You're a great gentleman, and thank you. You always bragged on my dad, and I always appreciate that, Mr. Sauls.
He loaned me the first money I bought a car. I'll never forget it.
Well, I'm sure you paid him back 1,000 times.
Yes, sir. Anytime I needed anything, he'd go in and help me. Old Las Casas Bank.
Las Casas is a great place. You're from there, I'm from there, my whole family's there.
Yeah, we had three bankers, you and your family.
Uh-huh.
Had two postmasters, four squires, a doctor or two, so Las Casas has been on the map.
For a long
time.
Well,
thank you, Judge.
Thank you for calling.
All right, sir.
That's one thing that's so special about this community is we all grew up in different sections of Rutherford County, and we have kept those ties with us going the whole time.
They're important ties, though. Yeah. People, the Las Casas community, even though I haven't lived there since I was 16 years old, it's still a part of my life because that's where I grew up. And, you know, I was just thinking, the house I live in now, I lived in longer than I lived in the house when I was a kid, but I consider that my home in Las Casas. That's great memories there, great times. I mean, I just can't tell you how many good times I had there.
I'd like to go in, and I wish I could capture all the conversations that went on at Brown's store all of those years, and such wonderful people that they were. And that's one of my fondest memories, is all of us going over there and and enjoying each other's company.
Now, Ben Brown, when I was a child, I mean a child, I talk about 5, 6, 7 years old, he always called me by name, my David. Mm-hmm. And that always meant a lot to me. I mean, I'm a child. And he always, when you'd walk in the store, he'd always talk to you and point you out. And that was a big thing as a child. Not just me, every child. And then, of course, that community loved Ben Brown, and then the bridge out there after Ben and his wonderful wife. And, of course, Buddy and Linda and the whole family, they're just wonderful people.
Yeah, that's what we miss more than anything, or I miss more than anything. I miss the county schools, and I miss the stores, because every store that you went into was the heart of the community at that time. And if you want to know what was going on, you went to those. And there was just something special about Buddy and Linda when they were there. And then, of course, Mo came.
Mo Black,
your
friend.
Yeah. She kept everything going.
She kept everything going. But that was the center of the community. I mean, that, like you said, that was the heartbeat. That was the center of the community, that store. And I remember as a child, my parents never kept Coke, so I just couldn't wait to go to the store and get me a Coca-Cola to drink. I mean, that was a great treat in those days. So going and people playing checkers or people playing Rook, it was always something going on at the store. Always something going on.
And people now, they want to go to these nice restaurants and they have their steaks and their lobster and all that, and they can't look. We used to go to Brown's store and eat bologna.
Bologna and cheese.
I mean, we looked forward to it. It wasn't the meal. It was enjoying each other's company and find out what's going on in the community.
Exactly. And enjoying people's company and socializing. And so if you go to a nice restaurant, which we all do, you sit at your table with your friends, you probably don't communicate with anybody else, and then you leave. There's no communication with other people. Whereas when you went to the store, well, everybody communicated with each other and talked to each other. No matter how old you were, no matter how young you were. And that was just part of our community out there. That's just part of our life out there. So we loved it. I mean, growing up there was fun. I just, like I said, I feel sorry for children today that don't get the same experiences I got to have. Great experiences.
You know, you're talking about when you go to a restaurant and you don't talk and all that. I have found that since being on the radio show here, WGNS, that it's amazing how many people I run into, and some of them did not know me before. And I have actually sat in booths before, and people start saying, you're Truman Jones. And said, I hear you on the radio. They did not know my face. They heard the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what's so special about you being on and all my other friends coming on. I get to share each one of you with people that really have not met you or don't know you. And that is special. And we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Judge David Lowry.
Judge? Judge
Lowry? Yes, sir.
this is your old salt again. I quit being Brown's Harry the day he died.
Oh. That was...
They went and told Peggy that he was dead and she died.
On the same day. That's correct. Man and wife, they died the same day.
Yeah.
And the other one didn't know the other one was
Mr.
deceased.
Mr. Paul McNabb, I cut his hair the day he died.
Oh.
He was a sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Remember
you,
him,
Judge.
Too? Thank you, Mr. Saul.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, again, that's the fingerprint of the community, that whole scenario. And that was just a heart and soul. When they both died, everybody in Las Casas, it was a bad day.
Yeah, and we've lost, like I said before, we've lost a lot of cornerstones and people that were so strong and meant so much in the community. And there was always at least 20 or 30 people when we'd go in Brown's store, and we knew all of them, and they just couldn't let anything sit still. If you had done anything wrong or you had made any kind of silly statement or whatever, you were going to pay for it the minute that you walked in that store.
Yeah, they wouldn't let things lie. But like I said, you know, that was the heart of community, and you know, that's, we've lost these little stores. We've lost our Las Casas, you know, the high school, and the one at Walter Hill, and then you had one, you know, Buchanan and Kittrell, you know.
Don't all forget Kittrell, yeah.
I didn't forget Kittrell.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'm just trying to say, it really, at Rockvale, you had all those, you know, Christiana High School. All those schools grew up, and those communities, and those schools were also a big center part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got the bigger schools, and education is just different than it used to be, and we've all changed.
Yeah,
I hope for the better.
When are you going to buy a motorcycle?
Never. I
was talking to Ed the other day. Of course, he spent a lot of time on the road.
That's Ed's my brother.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is your brother. I just want to let you know.
Well, I know, but some people listening to me may not know who Ed is.
So you're not going to go to the motorcycle route when you retire?
No.
Are you ever going to retire?
I hope not.
Hope you don't either.
I hope not. But, you know, that's not really going to be my decision. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy getting up in the morning. I enjoy going to work, and I can't imagine not doing that.
And you do a great job.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
We try.
I hope things continue on the
and
way they are.
All the judges try. We
have
a great group. We all get along together real well, and great group of judges.
Best I've ever seen. And we will, we're going to take a quick couple of days off. We're going to be off on Thursday and Friday, and we'll have the Best of the Truman Show, I think, on those 2 days.
Leanne Newton will be tomorrow's guest, and Don Odom on Friday.
Oh, great. Two great guests. And then we'll be back next Monday with Judge Steve Daniels, and we'll be talking about court. We'll be talking about football, especially with the LSU Tigers, which he was a member of. And it's going to be a great show. And Judge David Lowry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.